Hello and welcome to a playoff edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC soccer in the Western Conference Finals, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati, joined as always by the one and only Carter Augustine. Carter, how are you, man?
Great, Nate. Had to go through that international break weekend, but we made it. And how are you? I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Well, it was great to get through the international weekend and pass the time with some meaningless American soccer where they still don't have a head coach. So it was a complete wasted weekend in that regard for me. But now we're through it. And like you said, we're ready for the playoffs. I'm going to bring in the third member of our broadcast crew, which you will be able to listen to on Sunday night at 6:30 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with Sporting Kansas City visiting the Portland Timbers in the first leg of the away and then home series of this Western Conference Final. Matt Lawrence, who will be on the call with myself and Carter, on the phone right now with us. Matty, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing really well, Nate. I enjoyed the international break. I had fun. England won two games on the trot. I think that's the first time since 1966. So I'm cock-a-hoop. I'm all up for the international break, but I am desperately looking forward to this weekend. I'm desperately looking forward to getting out to Portland with you guys, meeting back up with you guys, and hopefully watching more Sporting KC goals and more victories, and hopefully that much rewarded, you know, place in the MLS Cup final.
Matt, you can't fool me because I've been around enough English people to know that they hate the international break during the middle of the Premier League season even more than we do. And I know by the crowd that there weren't that many English people excited about that 3-0 win over the United States.
No, there weren't. There weren't that many. But look, we get excited. We've discovered a new tournament that we like, the Nations League. Look, it might not be particularly important, but now that we're getting good at it, we enjoy it. We beat Spain. We beat Croatia in the last few games. So, yes. Yeah, so I'm slightly joking. I agree with you. The international break gets in the way. It gets in the way of MLS playoffs, gets in the way of the EPL and other domestic leagues around Europe. So, yeah, I am chomping at the bit to get back to working for SKC again and a game down in Portland, which should be, or across in Portland rather, which should be a really good affair. SKC have had not so much some good luck, but they've had some great performances over the last two seasons against Portland. So I believe that all three of us, Nate and Carter, can't wait to get cracking.
So, Matt, what's going through the players' minds on each of these teams having had a weekend off? I think Sporting, during the week, they were talking about having a scrimmage over the weekend to keep up to date. But what goes through players' minds when you have such a long layoff between two huge, important games?
You're just desperate to get back at it. You're desperate to get back over that white line and playing in a meaningful game. We talk about meaningless friendlies. They're meaningless scrimmages for the players. They will be sick and tired of, I'm slightly joking here, but sick and tired of kicking each other. They will be, they'll have a lot of pent-up aggression, anxiety, nerves that they just can't wait to release and let loose. I would imagine that it will be a pretty fast and frenetic opening to that game because, as you say, the players have had so long off. They've had so much time to think about it. They will have had so many videos to analyse. They'll know they will own each individual matchups. They'll be looking to go one-on-one against whoever it may be, whether it's Ebo Bise up against Aiko Parra or Matt Beza, those kind of things, whether it be Diego Valeri going up against Graham Zusi. Everybody will know exactly what they've got to do. And the players, I've been in this situation. I've had international breaks back home, and you're just desperate to get going again in something that's meaningful. And there can't be anything much more meaningful than a Western Conference final. And certainly this first leg, being away from home for Sporting Kansas City, as we've seen before, they will be desperate for that away goal, as they were down at the Rio Tinto Stadium against RSL just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm curious if you guys think these are two teams that obviously are in hot form. If this long layoff, and Portland had, what, three more days off than Sporting as well because they played on the Thursday, if this long layoff could maybe affect how well these teams have been playing over these last, you know, month of the season or so.
I think that inevitably, guys, it will have to affect the flow to a certain extent. I think the players will have wanted a little bit of a rest after the RSL doubleheader, but they would only have wanted seven day layoff maximum. You just want to keep in the flow. It's almost like having a half-time come just when you've scored two goals before half-time. You don't want the whistle to blow. You don't want there to be a half-time. I know that's only 15 minutes, but it's just a similar type of analogy. I think it has to have a little bit of an effect, and maybe it would take 15 or 20 minutes for both teams to get back into the flow of things. For our sake and for fans' sakes and for the players' sakes to a certain extent, you hope it doesn't have too much of an effect. But as you say, you've got two very good sides here and two very much informed sides as well. And for SKC, a side who always seem to hit form when they play against Portland Timbers. Well, they certainly have done anyway in the last four regular season games over the last two seasons.
I should point out that also coming up on the show, we got a jam-packed show for you to get ready for this big Western Conference clash. And coming up, we're going to hear from Ross Smith, who is the color analyst for the Portland Timbers broadcast. He'll give us the inside scoop on the Portland Timbers. And then we're going to talk with Kyrie Shelton, who could be in line to make the start for Sporting KC up top with Diego Rubio suspended for this game. And so I'll lead into that, Matt, because you talked about the fact that Sporting have had some good results against the Portland Timbers in the last couple of years. And this year they got a clean sheet in Portland. Then they got the big win at home. But there's a couple of key differences this time around that I want to ask you about. And I'll also point out that the three of us saw Portland and Sporting Kansas City in the preseason way back in February down in Tucson and got a look at Giovanni Savarese's first team with Portland. But at one point there was Fernando Adi up top for Portland as the striker. Then we saw Armenteros taking over that spot for the Portland Timbers. And now you guys already mentioned Ebobise. He's a different character. What is the difference for Sporting Kansas City when they face this new attack of Portland compared to what we've seen the last couple of times, Matty?
I'm not sure that Ebobise is as natural a goal scorer as either Adi or Armenteros. Hopefully I haven't ruined everything and he'll go and hit a hat-trick because I've said that, but I feel he's certainly got a lot of physicality about him. He's quick. He's a hard worker. I think almost you can compare in a similar vein, I think, to Kyrie Shelton, just that type of hard worker, a good all-round team player. I think Armenteros is somebody who is technically very gifted, but very much at times plays for himself. If Ebobise starts, he's only played something like 450 minutes this season. He's got a couple of goals and a couple of assists, but I just don't see him as that out-and-out goal scorer that maybe Armenteros is. Whether we see Armenteros, I'm not sure, but you'd have thought that Ebobise will certainly be a real handful for Matt Beasley and for Ikapara guys. I'm not sure what your take is.
Yeah, I thought he did well in the home leg of that first series that they had with Seattle. But on the away leg in Seattle, I think Ebobise, you know, showed his youth. So maybe that's something to watch out for. Portland at home, him feeling the home crowd, and he had that such a nice finish against Seattle in that first round. Yeah, it's an interesting new dynamic that they have with him up top. And, of course, I mean, you have Blanco and Valeri behind him. So that those two guys have been phenomenal all season long. And pretty much what Valeri does is how Portland does. I guess, yeah, the second question there, Kyrie Shelton up top for Sporting Kansas City. We saw how good Diego Rubio was in that 3-0. He got two goals against Portland at home back in August. That, of course, that was earned his purple patch. And so do you guys think it is Kyrie the most likely one to slide right into that starting position?
Yeah, I don't see that it could be anybody else, to be honest. Kyrie Shelton and Diego Rubio have been very good whenever they've been called on this season. Certainly Kyrie Shelton, since he's just come back from that injury layoff that he had as well, he's been in pretty good form as well. I know that Diego Rubio obviously broke his way back into the starting lineup for that second leg against RSL. But as you say, he's picked up that yellow card. He's suspended. And Diego Rubio, whether he starts or whether he comes off the bench, as we know and as we've highlighted so much throughout the season, that's going to be a huge, huge loss. Not only to the starting 11, but also that bench as well, that option off the bench. He's he's mentally so attuned when he comes off that bench and performs as a substitute. I think that's a huge loss, and it's a real shame that he got suspended. You never really want to castigate anybody for getting a yellow card, but I thought maybe he could have avoided that yellow card in that second leg against RSL, and he will be. There's no two ways about it. It's a big loss for SKC, and it puts a huge amount of pressure on Kyrie Shelton as well. I'm sure he puts that pressure onto his own shoulders himself, but he knows now. He knows there's no Diego Rubio coming off the bench after an hour. He is somebody who really, if he can go 75, 80, 85 minutes, that's very much needed by Peter Vermees and the team as a whole, guys.
You know, I'm going to make a somewhat bold prediction here, because that option off the bench would figure to now be Christian Namath. And I think we've all been waiting to see if and when Christian Namath would make an impact for this team since he was brought on. He's got a goal, I think, and an assist to his name so far, but nothing really that's really made a big impact in terms of a result for Sporting KC. He's had a couple of fantastic moments on this field in Portland. Of course, one of the greatest goals in Sporting Kansas City history that he scored in that 1-0 victory back in 2015. He also scored a playoff goal in 2015 as well on this field. And I just wonder if that gives a guy some confidence, knowing that he's had some great moments in a certain venue. If they have to call on him in this game, I guess you could do worse. If you're talking about, you know, one of your starting strikers or your starting striker being out, you could do worse than having a guy like Christian Namath as a person you can call on if you need him.
Yeah, I think he is somebody with a lot of experience. I don't think he's going to be overawed by the occasion. I think he'll be a great option, whether that's to start or whether that's to come off the bench. My assumption is that Kyrie Shelton would start and Namath will be the second option off the bench. I think that it's as not really detrimental to Namath that we haven't seen him so much. It just says so much about Diego Rubio and Kyrie Shelton, how well they have played and in keeping Namath out. I think I said at the time when Christian Namath was brought into the squad that he'll be a successful signing almost if we don't see him on the pitch for a great deal of times, just because that means that Kyrie Shelton and Diego Rubio will have stepped up to the plate and performed, and they've done that. And it's been really hard for Namath to break into the side. Let's see. Let's hope that he can have a real positive effect, whether that be starting at the weekend or whether that's coming off the bench, because he's certainly somebody, a player with undoubted talent, somebody who's got national team quality as well. He's played around the world as well, a number of different teams, so we know he's got that quality. Let's just hope it comes to the fore at the weekend when it's needed.
One other big difference in this coming match compared to the other two games in the regular season is Diego Chara is back in the lineup for the Portland Timbers. He didn't play in either of those first two games, and he is MLS best 11 as a number six. We talked about it. I remember, guys, going into those games, what the Timbers record is when Diego Chara doesn't play. It's terrible. And when he does play, on the flip side, it's really good. How big of a difference in your mind, and in what ways does Chara make a big difference for the Portland Timbers, Matty?
Well, he's a massive difference just because he buoys everybody around him. He gets everybody else attuned to his mentality. That is one of a whirling dervish almost in the center of the park. He puts in multiple challenges. He will get fouled. He will concede fouls as well. He's not likely to score a great number of goals, but he just gets all around the park. He's not the most technically gifted players, but just his love of the game and his desire rubs off on everybody around him, and that's why he's such a focal point of that Portland side. Yes, they have Valeri and Blanco, as Carter pointed out, both in double digits for goals and assists. But Chara's really the guy who makes this side tick. Chara's the guy who knows his own limitations. He will win the ball back, and he will pass the ball 5 or 10 yards to the likes of Blanco, to the likes of Valeri. He knows where his talent lies, and that is in winning the ball back for his side, and then he gives it off to the more technically gifted players. He's a huge part of that Timbers midfield, and as you've said, the stats point to that. When he's not playing, they struggle massively. When he does play, that's when they win the largest percentage of their games. So, yeah, it's a different Portland Timbers side with Chara in it.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty glad Portland is in this Western Conference final as well, because I just think it's just going to be such a great showcase for the league. Portland and Sporting Kansas City, the place is going to be absolutely yammed on Sunday, and I can't wait for the return next Thursday here in Kansas City. But what a matchup we have. What do you think, Matty? What does Sporting need from this first leg to bring back to Kansas City?
I think they can come back to Kansas City and overturn a one-goal deficit. But for me, it's similar to going down to RSL. You want to get at least one away goal. And if they can keep a clean sheet, we've seen on the last couple of occasions SKC have gone to Portland over the last two seasons. They have done that. They've kept a clean sheet. Yes, they've only scored one goal in those two games in Portland. For me, that's the thing. Keep a clean sheet, if at all possible. And if they can nick an away goal as well, that would be absolutely perfect. But I would see nothing wrong with going back to Children's Mercy Park with a 2-1 deficit, with an away goal in the bag, and win 1-0 or 2-0 at home. I know that sounds slightly simplistic, but for me, it's start off with that solid platform, as SKC normally do, and keep that clean sheet, hopefully going into at least half-time. And then maybe you may have a more attack-orientated second half. But for me, it's that stability. And if you concede a goal as well, Carter, if you concede a goal, Nate, it's not to concede a quick second or a quick third. I think they're playing very well, SKC, at the moment. So, you know, I would be looking for that one away goal first and foremost.
Matty, it's going to be a lot of fun. Portland, as Carter said, one of the best atmospheres in MLS. We know Children's Mercy Park is one of the best atmospheres as well. So now the true best of MLS is going to be on display, I think, in both of these conference finals. We didn't always have that in some of the early round playoff games, but now it's what we want this league to be the rest of the way, and it should be a lot of fun. We will see you on Sunday night in Portland. Matt Lawrence.
Yeah, I can't wait to get cracking, guys. See you in Portland soon.
All right, that is Matty Lawrence. He'll be on the call with us 6:30 Sunday night, and of course, then the return leg will be 8:30 the following Thursday night, a week from Thanksgiving, the game at Children's Mercy Park. I will point out to people that there are tickets available. 888-4-KC-GOAL. If you're thinking the game's already sold out, it is not. There will be standing room onlys available as well, and trust me, you will not be sorry. If you buy standing room only tickets for this game, you will have an absolute amazing time, and you'll have actually a good place to watch the game as well. It's going to be incredible. So get on that. And Carter, we should point out as well, for people that are tuning into the podcast, you can listen to us, of course, always live for the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB, but there's a lot of places to get it on podcast as well.
Yep, you can get it on Spotify, on iTunes, Podbean. It's out there. Check it out.
So subscribe to the podcast, yep. Like us, make some good comments, and get more people aware of the Sporting Kansas City Show. When we come back, we're going to talk with Ross Smith, who is the color analyst for the Portland Timbers. We'll also have Kyrie Shelton on the show, as well as the Sporting Kansas City Show continues right after this. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Had a good chat with our color commentator, Matt Lawrence, who, of course, will be on the call with us of Sporting Kansas City and the Portland Timbers on Sunday night at 6:30 here on Sports Radio 810. Now we're going to talk to the analyst for the Portland Timbers, a good buddy of ours, great guy, although he is our bitter enemy this coming week. Ross Smith joins us from Portland. Ross, how are you, man?
Good. Thanks for having me on. So it's a good little sign when we're talking Sporting Kansas City, Portland at this time of the year.
Well, we were getting together for a pint, I think, down in Tucson, Arizona, back in February. And we were kind of getting to know your team a little bit, the new iteration with the new manager in place and some new faces on the team as well. Boy, if you had gone all the way back then and said both of these two teams would be in the Western Conference Final, would you have believed it, Ross, that that things would have come together so nicely for the Timbers here at the end of the season?
Yeah, for your Sporting Kansas City side, and we shared the role, didn't we? We called the first half, you guys called the second half of that game in preseason, and it was, you know, two different halves almost for the Timbers and for Kansas City. But I would have believed that if you told me the Kansas City side would be at this stage back then, because I was so impressed with how things were already coming together for Peter Vermes' side and the new players that had come in. They just, I thought in the first half against the Timbers in that preseason match, I thought they ripped apart the defense, especially the fullbacks. But then a man named Samuel Armenteros came on, and all of a sudden there was the excitement of him and what he would bring. And so the big thing from the Timbers at that point in the season was the new manager getting his ideas across. But the new Timbers and the known Timbers having to come together, and the manager to figure out those two sets of groups. I mean, he did it to a certain level, and during the season, the 15-game unbeaten streak, it was a mixture of the newbies and the known Timbers. But now, Nate, it's all about the known Timbers doing it again and back to a formation that the guys know, 4-2-3-1. And it's all about the known Timbers that everybody knows their names who are coming up and in form right now.
Well, one of the guys you just mentioned was Samuel Armenteros, and he was so impressive even when we saw him down in Tucson, and impressive enough that the Timbers were willing to part ways with Fernando Adi, but he's been banged up. I saw a report that he could be back in training now, but his replacement, Obobese, has done really well as well. How should we expect that to shake out between Armenteros and Obobese going into this series?
Yeah, well, Jeremy Obobese, he's become the man of late, and he looks like a guy that is the number one striker, and you never would have said that a couple of months ago. And he's just his play, his opportunity when it came about with Samuel Armenteros. When Fernando Adi went out the door, Samuel Armenteros, it wasn't happening for him, and he can point to many things, whether he took the foot off the pedal a little bit. He did have a couple of injuries. There was the week where he went home for personal reasons, family reasons, and he missed a couple days of training. And that was a big, big week for Jeremy Obobese. And that was building into the Colorado at-home match for the Timbers. Obobese came in, he scored a goal, but he looked the part as well. And I think to be in that role, you have to be of the same level with Valeri and Blanco. And the same level, I mean, just on the same wavelength, that you keep their play going, that it doesn't come into you, the ball, and all of a sudden everything draws to a halt. And with Obobese, he showed that. And then he was getting his goals as well, just staying in between the pipes whenever it came his way. And I think he showed something there. But the big thing for him, which last year he got the opportunity under Caleb Porter, did well in his first game. But the second game, he ended up playing against the Red Bulls, and he fell away from it. And that was it for him. Caleb Porter, he didn't look back at him for the remainder, really, of the season. And for Obobese, he took that with him. So when he had that Colorado game, after that, whenever he got a chance, he showed that desperation. That was the word the manager used, is what he liked the most. He was desperate to do well. And to be quite honest with Armenteros, when he came back in, he wasn't really doing it. And then whenever Obobese got his chance, it was him. And so right now, for me, he's the number one striker. He's showing everything that the manager wants from him. And we're Samuel Armenteros. What a talent. I mean, you guys have seen him, and he's a guy that can change a game, but it's fallen away from him. And I think, disappointing for a lot of people to see, because on his day, Armenteros, I do believe it, he's one of the best strikers in the league. When he's fit, when he's on form, he just has something so different. But right now, it's all about Obobese, and you can't see him coming up the side, given all the different attributes that I've talked about.
That's really interesting to hear. Obobese taking claim to that number one spot. I think U.S. fans will be happy to hear that. Of course, a U.S. Mm-hmm. youth international, still yep. so young. But I'm curious, as you mentioned, Armenteros can change a game. The Timbers had three more days off even than Sporting Kansas City over this long international break. Has it been a chance to get some guys healthy, and could we possibly see Armenteros on the bench? And another good player for the Timbers, Guzman, what are his availability for this weekend?
Yeah, I think question marks right there for a couple of things. Samuel Armenteros, I think, the question mark is a little bit of a knock, but him in training, could he push for a spot on the bench? I think if he can show what he's capable of in training, if he gets over it. I'm at the training ground today to just go see guys and see how they're building up for things. So I think it depends on how he performs on the training ground and health-wise and form-wise for Samuel Armenteros, to be quite honest. You look at David Guzman, I think that's the question mark, because of his hamstring. He did have the head knock that we saw, and he did pass from what I'm told, the concussion protocol. So that wasn't an issue at all. So it was more for him a tight hamstring, mm-hmm. where he was held back. And so that is the question mark right now. He didn't go off with Costa Rica, so he's not there with the national team. He's held back. So I think that's the questions I'm going to be finding out at training as well this week. And it's amazing to me, guys, where I talked about Samuel Armenteros and and him sort of slipping away from that number one spot. For David Guzman, I never would have said how much the Timbers would be missing him 2 months ago at this point of the season, because up until 2 months ago, I thought he struggled. I thought he struggled to find his role in the team. I thought he struggled to be the imposing figure through the central midfield. And now all of a sudden, him on the ball, how he complements Chara, I thought it was a big piece missing when he came out the game in the first leg, Seattle. Certainly the second leg, where you needed somebody to get on the ball and look after it. It's almost as though he's taken away all these different parts of the game that he wanted to bring in, the box-to-box, he wanted to go everywhere and hunt. He just simplified his game, and that's what's made him very special beside Diego Chara. And I think any one of us three could sit in beside Diego Chara and look good on any given day, but certainly David Guzman, is the biggest one for me, Carter, out of on the chair. So he'd be on the bench. The biggest one for me is Guzman. Will he be involved? Will he start the game? And if he does, I think that's a huge, huge plus for the Timbers.
Well, he might not even need Armenteros. What with playoff Dairon Asprilla showing up here this season.
Yeah.
And that takes me back, and you mentioned as well the series with Seattle. I'm just curious about the mood in Portland after what was a phenomenal series to watch as a neutral. Obviously, that's not a neutral series up there in the Pacific Northwest. What was that like, the Timbers taking out the Sounders in the previous round?
I honestly, when you think back and when you're just talking about it, I do get the goose pimples, the goose bumps coming up because of how great a game it was. And we all love a great game as a broadcaster, to be able to broadcast an exciting match. And for me, that's easily the best match that I've ever called, Portland-Seattle at CenturyLink with the atmosphere. And it was from minute one, just how Seattle continued to come at the Timbers. And you know when you call the game, you think, okay, it's going to calm down in the first 15 minutes. It didn't calm down for 120 minutes plus penalties. It was intense. It was electric. And for the Timbers, what they showed in that game, even though it was backs against the wall for just about that whole entire time, the character in the team, they were resolute. There was a belief in the team. And I don't want to attempt fate. I'm always hesitant because everybody wants to compare this Timbers to the 2015. But there is one thing that's similar, and I can't quite put the finger on it, but there's a feeling. There's a feeling of this team that they'll get a result, that they can't be beat. And now on that night at CenturyLink, they do lose 2-1, you could say, but that was enough to go into extra time. But the things that happened for them to concede a goal late on for Seattle going extra time, you thought Timbers are going to be dead in the water now. Well, they popped up in Asprilla's goal off the great pass from Valeri. But then Seattle, they counted that, and even going into penalties for the Timbers, you thought, okay, are they going to be up against it? But the character they showed, and so that's what stood out to me from that CenturyLink game. They just refused for that to be the end of their season. And go back one step before that, FC Dallas, when they were down a man for the best part of 40 minutes, they just refused to be beat. And that was similar to 2015, the refusal for the season to be over. And so there was that special feeling in Seattle, and of course, because of the arrival and everything that it meant. And so for the broadcast side of it, we were beside the Fox guys, and everybody was buzzing afterwards. And, you know, for us, I know the energy to go get a pint afterwards and calm down. I did hear it was a little bit party time for the Timbers on the way home on their chartered plane coming back. But, you know, you take it a couple of days and you have a week off to really enjoy that memory. So that was a good part of this week off for it to sink in. But straight back to business. And I think it's one of those, compartmentalize it, and then you can think back to that Seattle series at the end of the season for these players.
You know, and we're visiting once again with Ross Smith from the broadcast crew of the Portland Timbers, saying that was the best game you've ever been a part of is saying something, because the last time these two teams faced off was one of the most incredible games I've ever had a chance to broadcast.
Yeah.
The double post game, after which there is, I believe, a sports bar in Portland named now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ross.
Right. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, the double post. For me, it was the best Seattle Portland game, but that is coming into question, and I'm interested to hear your guys' perspective, because for me, that Sporting Kansas City Timbers game, to your point, man, you just couldn't believe the events that were going on. The Maxi Arruti goal to take things to penalties, and obviously the penalty kicks from there, but the double post, this feature that just came out with Jake Zivin, Nat Borchers, they're in it, and Jake Zivin, our play-by-play guy, Nat Borchers, of course, needs no introduction. The ginger beard, he's on there talking about everything and the back and forth between Kansas City. So for me, that still edges it for me as the best game ever in MLS, and certainly the one that I've ever broadcasted because of everything that came into it and things that I've seen in that game that I've never, ever seen before in a soccer match. And so you're correct with it. The double post, it was a promise from owner Merritt Paulson to the fan base, the Timbers Army, that if they won a championship, he would name a bar, he would give a bar to the Timbers Army. And there it is, the double post, and a penalty kick that I've never seen anything like it. And so you're hoping now it's that Seattle moving into Sporting Kansas City, that's going to be those dramatics again, that there's going to be so many storylines that we'll talk about for 3-4 years, you know, for the rest of MLS history. So we'll wait and see what Sporting Kansas City Timbers bring.
Yeah, and that was the point I was going to make, Ross, there, is that I know that the natural rival for the Portland Timbers is Seattle, and I'm not trying to compare this series to that one because it can't, but boy, there's some good history between these two teams in a relatively short period of time. That game alone, I mean, I'm just looking, going to both teams' websites, getting ready for this game, and Sporting's got a list of like the greatest shots and goals and saves that they've ever had against the Timbers. And Tim Melia making an incredible save last year against the Timbers. Christian Namath with that incredible single-handed goal against the likes of Nat Borchers and Diego Chara a few years ago. There's just some good history. I got to think that adds something to this flavor for the players as well, the history between these two teams.
It has to. Right away when you say the Nat Borchers goal, Nate, it's funny, when we came to Children's Mercy Park this year, in the building down below by the stadium with all the screens that are showing while the players walk into their dressing room, that goal was on repeat of Christian Namath. And I'm walking with Nat Borchers as he watches time and again Christian Namath turn him inside out. And I thought, you don't have to play a game today, buddy. You're okay. I'm sure your confidence will be all right. So it was a good bit of banter there, but that goal certainly stands out. It's Amelia save. He's made so many. The one that stands out to me from that Darlington Nagby, I don't know if that's the save you're talking about, where he strikes it, but Samelia, the storyline for that, with him against the Timbers time and again, that the Timbers, they just can't figure Samelia out, and not many teams have been able to, but I agree with you with the rivalry between the two, and I think there's ultimately great respect between the managers, between the players. I think you have big, mature men of men for both teams. You have guys who are willing to go head-to-head, who are willing to stick in a tackle. You've got guys who are willing to go into the fight. But then you also got guys who have great quality. And Johnny Russell stands out for me. Daniel Showery has had a very good year. And, of course, on the Timbers side with Blanco and Valeri. So you have a little bit of everything. You have all the right ingredients to make it a very appealing matchup between the two teams. But the big thing, I think, for the Timbers, they'll be thinking coming into it, when you look at the two games this year and the Timbers haven't been able to score against Kansas City, and against Amelia is a big feature of it. But the Timbers would feel as though they were under strength against Kansas City. They didn't have Liam Ridgewell, who has emerged again as being one of the top players in the team and just a stalwart at the back. Diego Chara didn't play in both of those games. And a guy we already talked about who might be a little bit of a surprise feature is Jeremy Obobese coming in. That Kansas City, the defense, it's a new striker for them to try and figure out. So where the Timbers, I don't think, have fared great against Kansas City this year. I read some quotes from Peter Vermees, and he's very much prepared, as he is, you know, from my take of it, for every game. But he's prepared for a different look, Timbers, which I think is fair to say, given the Timbers, their form, different formation they've gone back to, the regular 4-2-3-1, and different players that will be coming into the game.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be playing three at the back. I wouldn't imagine either. We saw them kind of try that out against Sporting Kansas City early on in the season as well. Two of the greater fan bases, I think, in the league as well. And Ross, I'm looking forward to this Sunday. That place is going to be packed, and the return is going to be, I think this is going to be a great showcase for the league.
Yeah, you guys must have the same people scrambling for tickets. And that's where, you know, the buildup is happening. People get in touch with you a little bit early on saying, hey, can we get a ticket here or there? No chance. If you don't have a ticket, then it's hoping, you know, you're scalping something outside the stadium. The fans will be lining up, I imagine, a couple days before, which is insane to think that here. People, for a big game, they're already getting out, and they already have tickets, but they're already be camping out, sleeping on the concrete under tents because they want to be the first into that general admittance area, the Timbers Army, so they can be the first ones with the primary seats there to watch the game.
Ross, it's been great talking to you, buddy. We will see you on Sunday in Portland.
Thanks so much, guys. Look forward to seeing you out here.
All right, that is Ross Thanks, Smith, Ross. All-around great guy and commentator for the Portland Timbers. He's the analyst for their broadcast along with Jake Zivin and as we said, Nat Borchers as well on the crew, as it's going to be Sporting KC and the Portland Timbers on Sunday at 6:30. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Kyrie Shelton will join us right here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. And we're back on the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Nate Bucati, along with Carter Augustine. Our thanks to Matt Lawrence and Ross Smith for joining us on the show today as we get ready for Sporting Kansas City and the Portland Timbers in the Western Conference Finals. And now we're joined by a special guest, striker for Sporting Kansas City, Kyrie Shelton, has joined us on the phone lines. Kyrie, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man, and we can't wait for this game on Sunday, really for this series on Sunday and then the following Thursday. And I'm curious for you guys. We all feel like we had to sit around and wait through that international window this past weekend. We just want to get to watch you guys play soccer again. But as players, was it kind of nice to have a little extra time to recover after that tough series against Real Salt Lake, or have you been dying to get back out on the field and play in this game?
You know, it's bittersweet, but you know, we're athletes and we're competitors, so we're all dying. We all have that itch. We all want to be back out and in front of, well, first away at Portland, but also in front of our home fans.
Kyrie, what was that like? The atmosphere in that home win against Real Salt Lake, such a back and forth game, and then you guys ice it there at the end.
Man, it's the crowd, the support, the supporters are amazing. You know, it's unreal. That's my first time experiencing something like that. And you know, it's a blessing. Really, it helps us. Our supporters help us so much. Give us energy, and you know, I'm not sure if you were able to see some of the videos after the game, but some of our office people and media guys were able to put some videos up from when Daniel scored the last goal to put the icing on the cake. The stadium just erupted. It was amazing.
So of course you came into that game, and it was like by the time you got subbed in, like, all hell had broken loose. Kyrie, and then so you were on the field as well for when Shalloway put it away, that we all finally got to exhale and realize, okay, we're going on to the next round. Tell me what that feeling was like for you getting thrust into the middle of a game like that, in which, like I said, it seemed like all heck was breaking loose.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's a playoff game, you know, and the refs aren't calling much, so they're going to be calls not given, and it was a bit eye-opening for me, but you know, it's nice when you have guys around you who are there to support, and you know, I've been working with these guys all year, and I knew when I got in that we were going to win the game. It didn't matter if they had scored or not, we were going to win.
What gave you that confidence? I'll be honest with you, I was really nervous. I mean,
no. I think, you know, if you look at the whole year, at things that have gone on so far, you know, we've never collapsed as a team. We've never given up, and you know, we always have a belief. There's a belief that starts with Peter and the coaching staff, and us, the players. And you know, it's been like that all year, and we know what we're capable of, but the belief is just there.
Oh, I think, Kyrie, one of the loudest cheers of the match is when you sprinted a full 20, 30 yards into a slide tackle. That's despite having four goals throughout that game for Sporting Kansas City. And I'm curious, as you just mentioned, you guys have shown that that you can mix it up as well as score a season high, a franchise record for goals in the season. So I'm curious, is there a feeling that you guys can mix it up or pretty much win any type of game as we've seen over the past month or two of the season?
You know, it's always, you know, game of soccer is crazy, and anybody can win on any day. But, you know, being with these guys from the beginning, you know, we support one another. And, you know, we go into every match believing that we're going to win, you know. There's no doubt in our minds that we have a tremendous amount of talent here. And, you know, the thing is we work hard during training. So, for example, the tackle you had seen after Daniel had got the goal, that's just a little bit of it just shows that the stuff that we do in training, it just replicates itself and it's displayed on the pitch. You know, coming into a game like that, it's not always easy, but it's something that can help the team. You know, and even though we're up, you know, I'm given an opportunity to showcase myself and also to work hard. So that was just a little bit of frustration that you've seen from me. I'm turning a couple balls over, but hey, all the guys are working hard and making tackles when need to be.
We've got Kyrie Shelton joining us on the phones right now as Sporting get ready for their first leg of the Western Conference Final at Portland on Sunday at 6:30. Again, you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kyrie, I find it really interesting, I almost call it a partnership or rotation that you and Diego Rubio have developed over the course of this year, because it seems like it doesn't matter if Diego starts and plays 60 minutes, you're going to get called on to play a big 30 minutes roughly at the end of the game, and you come in and contribute right away, as Carter just, you know, gave a couple of instances. Or if you start the game and play 60 minutes and Diego comes right in and scores a goal to help. It seems like the two of you are able to do the job, whether it's starting or coming off the bench. And it's almost like you feed off of one another. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but can you tell me what that relationship is like, the way you two seem to be able to piggyback off one another through the course of this year?
Yeah, you know, me and Diego have a fantastic partnership. You know, we, at training, we push each other. And there's a high level of respect I have for him, and I'm sure he has the same for me. But at training, we push each other, and we compete every day. You know, I think that's the biggest thing is we compete, and, you know, we both have very different characteristics, and we're able to display that during the games. But it all starts with training, and, you know, we build and have built, been able to build a relationship during, outside of training, you know, at the facility and things like that. So I would say it's pretty strong, and, you know, it's going to continue to grow now that we're in the second leg. We're going to be playing Portland on Sunday, and this is going to be Western Conference Finals. You know, we're going to continue to push each other to see where it can take us.
And, of course, he's suspended for this first leg, which, you know, can affect, obviously, the whole team. But for you particularly, what kind of a mindset do you have to take into this game, knowing that, you know, you've got other options, I know that, but the fact that he's not available in this game, how does that affect the way you approach this game on Sunday?
You know, it's not any different. You know, we have Christian Namath as well, very talented individual. You know, I'm going to have the same mindset I always do going into the games that I have this year. You know, it's to be out there and to contribute. As you mentioned before, it's just to give to the team. Always put the team first. So that's the biggest thing for me is just to give my all to the game and to the team.
Well, how about the Portland Timbers? Obviously, they come through an emotional series with Seattle Sounders. What do you see from them? Liam Ridgewell has been rounding into form. He and Mabiala, a decent center back partnership there that you'll be matched up against if indeed you are into the starting lineup this Sunday.
Yeah, they're a very, very good team. As you can see, you don't make it this far with luck. And, you know, I'm faced with a challenge that's right in front of me. And, you know, I'm going to do my bits and pieces to to figure out a way to disrupt those guys and help us win. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. And not to focus really much on them, but, you know, I've got to be able to focus on what I need to get done. And we as a team got to focus on playing our game.
Well, Kyrie, we certainly thank you for the time. Best of luck on Sunday. We can't wait to watch you guys take on the Portland Timbers on Sunday night.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Kyrie Shelton, striker for Sporting Kansas City. We'll be back to wrap things up on this edition of the SKC Show right after this. Back to wrap things up on this playoff edition, this Western Conference final edition of the Sporting KC Show. Nate Bucchetti along with Carter Augustine. All right, Carter, we've gotten some good analysis from Matt Lawrence, Ross Smith. We heard from Kyrie Shelton. Now let's get to a little I'm not going to even ask for scores on the predictions unless you want to. Yes? No?
I don't like doing that. Do you?
No, I don't. Yeah. So, but I just wanted to give you the option. No.
Just bust me out. That's fine.
No, I just was trying to get, you know, I'm trying to make this an egalitarian show. Sure. You know, I don't want to be a dictator over here. So I wanted to give you the option. I would rather just say what we're looking for in this game. What we think is going to take for Sporting Kansas City to come back with a result that they need. I'll let you go first on that regard. What maybe are some of the things you're looking for in terms of Sporting Kansas City in this game on Sunday night?
Well, I'm with Matt Lawrence in that I'm looking for an away goal. You know, that's so huge in these, especially when you go back home, because if you don't get one and then Portland scores one in Children's Mercy Park, it becomes a pretty precarious situation. So I think they'll be aware of that. Second thing I'm looking for, Felipe Gutierrez, how good was he in the last game that Sporting Kansas City played? He didn't play up in Portland in the first game of the season. They got that clean sheet up there with Juan Cusain in midfield and with Jalen Lindsay at left back. So they've shown the ability.
Emiliano Amor might have played in that game as well. Did I get that wrong? One of the games, he played in one of the two games in the series. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, he might have. He might have. Trying to look it up now.
Why don't you go ahead and finish your thought, and I'll see if I can look it up for you.
But anyways, they got the 0-0 up there earlier this season. It would be fantastic to get a clean sheet again up in Portland. It's going to be a little more difficult. I think they're a much better gelled team, and props to Gio Savarese for getting this team to where they are in his first season. But then I think if Gutierrez can play like he did in that game against RSL, they'll be winners in the midfield, and that's such a huge aspect of any game, and this midfield trio is so good. I think that'll be a key here, and I guess part of that is on the other end just keeping track of that number eight, because they won the Dallas game pretty much because of him. He curls in that wonderful free kick and then scores another fantastic goal as well. He is just you see why he's the MVP last season, and he is the main man for them. So I think that's the other thing to keep tabs on.
Yeah, certainly got to keep track of him. Okay, I've got the details for you here. Emiliano Amor subbed into that game because
injury.
Matt Beisler had a hamstring injury around halftime. And, of course, that was in a stretch where Sporting had played, you know, three games in the span of 6 days. Beisler had played in all of them. And that was also kind of that stretch that kind of launched that stretch that Peter talked about where they had a lot of hamstrings, you know, hitting them in the middle of the season. And Sporting was able to grind out a 0-0 in that one. They've been good at grinding out 0-0s in Portland. I think that's going to be a little different this time because of the away goal situation. I think it's a bit of a different approach for Sporting KC there, so I think they got to push for that goal, like you said. All right, that's going to do it for us. We're going to wrap things up. We will see you on Sunday. Again, 6:30 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Sporting and the Portland Timbers. Get your tickets for the return leg at sportingkc.com and 888-4KC-GOAL. And we'll see you next week on the Sporting Kansas City Show.